No, Tuesday, I'm starting nights, but I'm gonna still get the shear in the morning for another week or two.
Oh. Okay.
So I'll let you know.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this week's parasha is Parashas Bahalosecha. And at the beginning of the parasha, we read about the lighting of the menorah. So I thought it'd be nice or appropriate to talk a little bit about the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles. But before we do that, I want to say something about the menorah. The Medrash says that the menorah was one of the few things that Moshe had difficulty with. Right? It says that Moshe was neskasha. He had difficulty. It's a question what exactly that means. He had difficulty with it. Apparently it was something that he couldn't fully perceive until Hashem gave him further clarification. And a number of things like that. One of them was the menorah. And the question is, what exactly was it about the menorah that was so much different than any other of the kelim, where Moshe seemingly didn't have this difficulty? Whatever the difficulty was, whatever the Medrash means to convey, when it says there was something about the menorah that presented a difficulty, what was it about the menorah? So they say in the name of the Brisker Rav that, so actually it's in the Griz Ala Torah, in Parshas Tetzaveh. Now, well, let me see if I could find it quickly. I'll read it inside. It's always better than quote say it over. Yeah, this is the old version. That you could see. Yeah. Ita be ita, the Moshe Niskasha Basiyas HaMenorah. In the old edition, this is page 38. It's Simon Ayin Gimel. You can see this is really the older version. Veheru lo b'shamayim. The Moshe had some confusion about the way the menorah should be, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu made some illustration for him in Shamayim. Va'abra molochim ha'yutzuichim ha'aroso. And four angels were necessary to show him this image. V'tzarech bir, ma niskasha kol kach. What was so complicated about it? Habayi Sheni also base menorahs. In the second base of Mikdash, they made two menorahs. Umay Akasha Lamosha Yosem Mehem. What was so complicated? More than the menorahs in the second Mikdash. Vahanira Dehine Kaftoreha Uprahaha Vikikazov Ma'ake Ladoros. Achein Shir Goldel Haprochim Vakaftorim Lonamar. The detail of the menorah was very intricate, and it was ma'akev, it had to be done precisely. But yet, says the Brisker Rav, that the shir goldel haprochim v'akavtor lo ne'amar, v'yochel asos goldon eich shiyirtza, achein zeh rak l'doros, aval ben menorahs moshe ne'amar din tavnis. In the future, the way the menorah could be made was such that it could be a little bit different. In the Mishkan, there was a specific din that the Mishkan, the menorah in the Mishkan, had to be done with Torah's Tavnis. It had to be done precisely. It had its Mishkal, Kikar, Zahav, had to have a precise weight, and it had to be Dafka B'Tavnis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended. Kaftar V'Kaftar, and each Geviyah in its height and in its measure, and its Mishkal and its Torah, specifically the way it was intended to be, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him. Later, that was not the case. And similarly, in the Mishkan, in the Shaar Kelim, that wasn't the case. It says, Kikol Sheani Mareh Oscha, as Tavnis HaMishkan, as Tavnis Kol Kelov. Right? So that was a general commandment, that it be done in a general way that I've told you. But by the Norah, there's a specific mandate in the Pasuk, V'asa B'Tavnisam, on each detail of the menorah. It had to be done with a certain amount of precision and exacting detail. And that's why it had to be shown by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I can't tell you exactly what that means, but I can tell you that he writes here, continues, he says, V'yochel asos goldon eich shiyirtza, achzor rakudoros, avol benoros moshe nemar din tavnis, tehe betsura halazos ubegoldel haprochem vegoldel hakaftorim bediuk kamo shiyitztav. V'din tavnis nemar rak l'sha. This din, and he says that this is expounded upon by the Ramban, before that the menorah of the Mishkan was unique in the sense that it had to be done b'tavnis. V'alzehu shemoshen eskasha lasos b'diuk kegodel shenamar. He had to know exactly how to make it. I just thought that's an interesting thought in terms of distinguishing the menorah of the Mishkan from the other kelim and from the menorah of the Mikdash later on. Okay, in any event, in terms of candles, let's begin. So the Shabbos candles that we light today are alluded to in the Medrash in this week's parsha. The Medrash in the Yalkut Shimoni says the following: Ksiv. This is the Yalkut Shimoni parsha's Behalosecha Ches. He writes Ksiv. Ki Ner Mitzvah Torah, quotes the pasuk from Mishle. It says in Mishle that Ner Mitzvah. The Torah or Ner somehow represents mitzvah, and Torah represents is represented by or. Neros shel basar v'dam, shel cheres o shel nechoshes, hakol l'kfi kvodo shel adam. When a person has his own private candle, so to illuminate his house, he uses whatever type of candelabra he has. If a person is wealthy, he uses more precious metals. If he's not as wealthy, he uses lesser materials. Ukvod Shabbos, ukvod Shabbos, neroseha. Hein kvoda. Im shemartem neir shal Shabbos, ani malachem neir shal tziyam. Shenemar ba'eis ahi, achi peses yushalayim ba'neiros. See, he quotes the pasuk in Zephaniah, which again connects the geula to neiros, and the Medrash suggests that this is a reference to neiros Shabbos. If someone is mechabed the Shabbos with neiros, if you keep the Shabbos, if you sanctify the Shabbos through the lighting of the candles, ultimately there will be this reward. Okay, that's one reference, but doesn't really explain what the basis for the lighting of the candles are. And we know that we've heard many times that there are different reasons that are given for the lighting of the Shabbos candles. All right? Anyone want to share one of those reasons?
Shalom bias.
Shalom bias. Where does that come from? We'll have to see. What else?
What does that mean? It creates it.
It helps to create. Well, we'll have to see. It's a good question. What do the candles have to do with shalom bias? Anything else?
It also allows for some sort of the animal we call it from the food.
Okay, Oneg Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos. And the Medrash here already alludes to a little bit. He says, Kavod Shabbos Neiroseha Hein Kavoda. Right, that there's an aspect of Kavod Shabbos. So let's take a look. The Pasuk says in Yishayahu, in Nunches, this is a famous Pasuk, because we learned out a lot of Hilchot Shabbos in this Pasuk. The Pasuk says, in Tashiv Mishabbos Raglecha, Asos chafatzecha b'yom kodshi, v'karasa l'shabbos oneg, l'kdosh adonai v'chubar, v'chibarato me'asos d'rachecha, v'mtzol chafatzecha v'daber dover. So, for example, the way v'daber dover teaches us that the way you speak on Shabbos has to be different than the way you speak on Chol. You don't speak about business on Shabbos. You don't speak about mundane matters on Shabbos. That's v'daber dover. V'mtzol chafatzecha, we learn another halachas from. Generally, the Pasuk teaches that there's an aspect of Oneg Shabbos, that a person has to do things to enjoy the Shabbos. So the Medrash in Tanchuma, in Parshas Noach, in expounding on that Pasuk, says the following. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, Akama Averus Noshim Mesos Peshas Leidosan. What are the Averus for which women die during childbirth? Kach Shana Rabbeinu, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Al Shalosh Averus. And therefore, all from the Torah, Nida. Dechsiv ve'isha ki yozov, chala, as it says, rishis ariso seichem, and hadlokas haner, dechsiv, v'karato l'shabbos oneg. Says the Medrash, zu hadlokas haner b'shabbos. The Medrash says that one of the things that a woman has to be particularly careful about is the mitzvah of Shabbos candles. Why? Because hadlokas ner Shabbos is specifically tied up with the aspect of oneg Shabbos, as alluded to in the pasuk in Yishaya. The imtomer leishev b'choshech. So a person could say, well, sec, what's the big deal? So I won't light candles, and I'll sit in the dark on Shabbos. I won't be doing anything wrong. I won't light candles. Says the Medrash, no. The imtomer leishev b'choshech ein ze oneg. That's not oneg. To be in darkness is not considered enjoyment. It's not enjoyable. Okay, so now we have two ideas that are alluded to by these Midrashim. The Medrash in the Yalkut in this week's parasha alludes to the aspect of kavod Shabbos. And the Medrash in the Tanchuma in Parshas Noach says that lighting the Shabbos candles is for Oneg Shabbos. And what's the difference between these two things? What about this other aspect of Shalom Bayis? So truth be told, all three of these ideas, all three of these themes, are mentioned in the Gemara, and if we underscore one, then by definition we're sort of downplaying the other. And that means to say that there are practical nafkaminas between these different reasons. If we say this is the reason, then the natural conclusion might be one way in halacha. If we say no, this is the reason, there might be a different outcome in halacha. So let's take a look. The Gemara in Shabbos, in that area that discusses the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, also discusses the Neiros of Shabbos. On Chaf Gimel and Beis in Gemara Shabbos and Perek Mamad Malikin, the Gemara says Ner Beiso v'Ner Chanukah, Ner Beiso Odif. If a person has only enough funds, Shabbos Chanukah, he only has enough money to buy one candle, he could either buy a Shabbos candle or he could buy a Chanukah candle, meaning he can only light one candle. Shabbat. Which one should he light it for?
Tadir.
So the Gemara doesn't say Tadir. The Gemara says because Shalom Bayis.
Okay.
Because of Shalom Beiso. Why is Ner Beiso Adif? Why does Ner Shabbos trump Ner Chanukah? Because Ner Shabbos carries with it the concept of Shalom Bayis. What's this idea of Shalom Bayis? Pesach asks, what does it have to do with Ner Shabbos? So Rashi says the following. People are not happy, they're not pleased to be sitting in the dark. And what happens when people are not happy? They're grouchy, right? And that destroys a person's shalom bias. Later on, just jumping ahead, the Gemara really actually quotes the pasuk that Rashi mentions here. This is the Gemara on Chaf Heyam and Beis. Vatiznach Mishalom Nafshi, Mai Vatiznach Mishalom Nafshi, Amar Rabavohu, Zuhad Lakas Ner B'Shabbos. Says Rashi, Shaloi Halo Mimal Lahadlik, Umakam Shein Ner, Ein Shalom. Why? Shaholech V'Nichshal V'Holech Ba'Afela. Person stumbles around and has to, you know, stub his toe and bang his head because it's dark.
But we don't have that problem now.
We don't have that problem.
We can leave lights up.
But lights might be a fulfillment in this mitzvah also. Lighting lights might be a fulfillment in lighting candles for Shabbos.
They have windows too. So.
Well, they always had windows. At some point, it gets dark, right? Nighttime, it's dark. So Pesach is getting into an interesting point. If we say that the mitzvah is for Shalom Bayis, then maybe this mitzvah, beyond its purest form, that, you know, we always assume that the mitzvah of lighting candles is two candles. That's the basic custom of lighting. The basic halacha is that you have to light one candle. Only one candle is enough to satisfy the requirement of lighting a candle on Shabbos. The minhag has been for many generations to light two candles. One for Zohar, one for Shomer. Beyond that, there's a widespread custom of lighting additional candles. People light per the amount of family members they have or per the amount of children they have. That's a later custom. But the basic halacha is that one candle is sufficient. So if it's for Shalom Bayis, then maybe it makes good sense that there should be light in any place where I'm going to be on Shabbos in my home, where without light, I'm going to run into this problem of Holech Ba'Avela, or banging my head, or stubbing my toe. And the truth is that if you look through the postgame, it seems that that is certainly appropriate, that even though they don't have to be candles per se, but there should be lights that are left on in those areas where a person's going to use on Shabbos, lest he be in a place where it's dark and uncomfortable. So even though you light the candles, the Shabbos candles, in one place, we'll talk about where those are generally lit, but the proper thing to do is to, maybe even at the time when you light the candles, to go put on other lights in the house on Shabbos. So if a person's going to be in the study or be in this bathroom or, you know, in the hallway, those lights should be left on also in honor of Shabbos because of Shalom Bayis. And that is the proper thing to do, even halachically speaking. Okay. But let's say that there's the reason for lighting Shabbos candles is not because of Shalom Bayis. Maybe it's because of Oneg or Kavod. So what then would be the halacha? Where would I have to light? So it's interesting. If you go back to Chaf Gimel and Beis, when the Gemara talks about the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles, so it uses the lashon of Chova, and Rashi and Tosos have two different ideas. This is also on Chafei Mbez. I'm sorry. Not Chafkim, Chafei. When the Gemara says, Hadlakas Ner B'Shabbos Chova, it's an obligation. Says Rashi, what does it mean, Chova? Chova Kvod Shabbos. Kvod Shabbos hu she'ein se'uda chashuva el makam or. It's Kvod Shabbos. Why is it Kvod Shabbos? Meaning, what's the chova? When the Gemara says lighting Shabbos candles is a chova, Rashi says, what's the chova? Oh, the chova is for Kvod Shabbos. What does that mean for Kvod Shabbos? So Rashi's lashon is she'ein se'uda chashuva el makam or. What does that mean? How do you show the kvod for Shabbos?
By lighting candles
where?
Specifically the suda. Probably in some place in relation to the table.
That's right. According to Rashi, when the Gemara says chova, what the Gemara means to convey is that there is a chova because one has to be mechabed the Shabbos. One has to be mechabed the Shabbos, and therefore he must light candles in proximity to the suda. Why? Because the candles qualify the suda. Rashi says there's no such thing as a suda chashuva without candles. Right? And the truth is, you see that even in secular society, when they have a steak dinner or some type of a chashuva meal, at least in the way it's depicted, they always show that there's candles there, right? Candelabras. Thanksgiving feast, they always have those candlesticks on the table. That apparently shows some type of a chashivas. So Rashi understood the same thing. That with a suda without candles is not as chashuv as a suda with candles. It just lends an air of chashivas.
Excuse me.
Yes.
So far, the first two,
Shalom Bayis
and
Kavod Shabbos.
So to me, I think that, well.
Okay. But Tosos, however, on the same element over here, Tosos says, what do you mean, Hadlakas Neighbor Shabbos Chova? Pirish b'makom suda. Again, he also assumes that the lighting of the candles should be in close proximity to the place that you're eating. D'chovahi sheyisod b'makom haner mishum oneg.
Okay.
But Tosos says something different. Like Rashi, Tosos assumes that the lighting of the candles should be where your suda takes place, where your meal takes place, but it gives a different reason. Whereas Rashi said it's because I have an obligation to qualify my suda as a chashuv suda, and I have to be mechabe the suda with a candle. Tosa says the reason why I have to light candles and have them near the suda is for me. It's for my oneg of the suda. I cannot enjoy my suda the same way I can in the dark. I can't enjoy my suda the same way if it's dark as I would if it was well lit. So because of my oneg Shabbos, because of my enjoyment of the Shabbos, I must have a ner, as opposed to Rashi, who seems to say that the idea of lighting neros is for kavod, in the sense that I have to show honor to the suda. So let's just recap, and let's go through the halachic literature now. We'll take a look at the Shulchan Aruch and see how these ideas are incorporated. All three of them are actually incorporated into the Shulchan Aruch. So the first, we saw that there was an idea of oneg Shabbos, that there has to be a candle lit for the purpose of enjoying the suda. That's Rashi. Going backwards, we saw that was Tosos. Rashi said the idea was Kavod Shabbos, to be Mechabe de Suda. And then, prior to that, we saw the idea of Shalom Bayis, that person not stumble, not bang his toe, and not be generally upset. Okay, so what happens when we move over to the Shulchan Aruch? Fun, interesting thing. Fine, as we already mentioned, all three of these themes are somehow incorporated into the Halacha. So the first we have in Siman Reish Samach Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch writes the following: Yehi Zohir Lasos Ner Yafeh. Person should be exceedingly careful to produce a nice candle, nice flame for Shabbos. V'yesh Mechavim Lasos Shtei Pesilos, and some have the practice, says the Mechaber, of producing two wicks. It would be two candles, two flames, whatever the apparatus that you're using is. Somehow producing two lights.
That's like the so far. It's like the Mishnah.
Keneged Zachar, Echad Keneged Zachar, Echad Keneged Shamar. Says the Rambam, V'yichol lehosif lahadlik shalosha or arba neiros, v'chein nagu ha'isha sheshachar pam achas lahadlik. I'm sorry, v'chein nagu, period. Ha'isha sheshachar pam achas lahadlik, madlekas kol yameha shalosha neiros. The Maharil, and the Rambam cites this, was of the opinion that as some form of a knas, if a woman were to forget to light the Shabbos candles 1 week, right? If she were for forget. If she was negligent. Not if she was not able to. If she would forget, we knast her. And as a result, she'd have to light an additional candle for the rest of her life. Basically, as in her mind, not to forget in the future.
Does everybody
want? And that is the halacha. I mean, that's what we assume. That's the halacha. Does everyone?
Are there different opinions on it? Well, that's just.
I mean, that's the generally accepted practice, as far as I know. So, I mean, that's brought down by the Ramon, the name of Mariel. Does Sfardim have that practice? I don't know.
3 your whole life or 2 her whole life?
Well, again, it depends what her baseline was. If she was starting with 1, then she would go to 2. But since the common practice was 2, she would go to 3.
Everyone's bound to forget sometime.
Oh, it's a hard thing to forget. That's the truth.
Hard to forget?
Shabbos candles?
Well, it's very easy. You run out of the house. Oh, well, for me, I'm running out of the house.
I was saying, for a woman who's been doing it her whole life, it's usually, they understand like that.
But still, for them, that's the way, you can forget anything, really.
But I'll tell you the major difference. The major difference is that for the...
Anybody have a black Audi? Here? No.
No.
Or blue. No Audis, okay.
Maybe my Toyota Corolla limo.
No, someone must be blocking something. Yeah, sure. For women it's different, because for women, Kabbalah Shabbos generally, the default is, they accept Shabbos with lighting candles. So, whereas a man knows he's running to shul to start Shabbos, a woman knows that she's got to light candles to start Shabbos. That's just the way she's programmed. She understands that's, I'm not saying it can't happen that she forgets. I'll tell you where it usually happens that she forgets. Usually it's newlyweds that forget. It's not a woman that's been lighting candles a long time. It's usually a woman that's much younger and she's...
Yeah, you know, cooking and cleaning.
Yeah, but I'm saying once it's part of your routine, you know that this is what you're running to do. Okay, trust me. I mean, we could if we think about other things that we would never forget, right? I mean, there are things that, as men, we know we always have to do. Guy gets in the morning, he knows he has to put on tefillin. Guys, it's very hard for guys to say, I forgot. And put on tefillin. I mean, you forgot to put on tefillin. That's what you're supposed to do every morning. You know?
So well, if you weren't in a minyan, you could easily forget.
No, that's what I'm trying to say. It doesn't matter if you're a minyan or not. The guy knows he has to put on tefillin every day. He's doing his whole life. Every morning he gets up and puts on tefillin.
No, but I'm saying because there's a minyan.
No, even not. He knows he has to daven and put on tefillin. If he doesn't go to minyan, no, it's not like second nature. All right, I'll take my word for it. Most women don't just forget. Some women could be running last minute and get caught up, and then something happens, and they realize, "Oh my gosh, it's
too late."
Yeah, it's too late. That could be a problem. That's a problem. But let's say it wasn't just forgetting. If it was just onus, person was rushing to get someplace for Shabbos, and they got there the last minute. That's not what we're talking about here when we knas them. We're talking about something that was basically a lack of preparation, or something that you did wrong that you're culpable for, but something that was unavoidable that we don't knas you for. Okay, the Mechaber continues. Echad anoshiv, echad anoshin chayav and liyos b'vateim ner dolok b'shabbos. Men and women have this mitzvah. If a man lives alone, so he has to light a candle. Also, it's not something that's unique to women. Generally, a married man, so this mitzvah is done by the woman for other reasons. But as a rule, a man is also included in this mitzvah. In fact, even married men, they try to participate in the mitzvah in some way. They'll bring the candles out, or they'll set the candles up, or they'll light the candles before Shabbos and blow them out so that they're prepared and more easily lit. Some people have that practice, but it really is a man's mitzvah as well. Even a person who is otherwise without funds has to go ahead and try as much as possible to be able to get together the necessary monies to get near Shabbos. Why? Mechaber says, because there's Onik Shabbos here. And you need to be Ma'anig the Shabbos. You need to do things to be able to enjoy the Shabbos. Alright? So there we see already Onik is included in the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. Now the Mechaber says, Hanoshim Uzharas Bo Yoser. Generally speaking, this mitzvah is considered more of the domain of the woman. Why? When they should Mitzvahs B'Bayis. V'Oskos B'Tzarchei Habayis. Just for practical reasons. Right? She's around more. She's involved in the house. I mean, the Medrash says another idea that she brought darkness to the world, so she's required to bring light into the world, whatever that means. But like we said before, this is a man's mitzvah as well. If you only have money for wine or for candles, near Shabbos kodem. Why? Mishum Shalom Habayis. So now we also find in the Shulchan Aruch the reference to Shalom Bayis is also part of Ner Shabbos. There ain't Shalom Bayis below Ner. There's no such thing as Shalom Bayis without lights. Okay, so here we have references to Oneg, references to Shalom Bayis. What about Kavod? Is there a reference here anywhere to Kavod Shabbos in the language of the Mechaber? So, Lo Yakdim L'maher L'adliko Mibod Yom Gadol. Shouldn't light the candles too early on Friday. Shaz Eino Nikar Shemadlik L'chvod Shabbos. Now you see Kavod Shabbos mentioned. Right? If you light candles now for Shabbos, it doesn't look like it's has anything to do with Shabbos. Right? That's why you light them closer to Shabbos so that it's Muchach, so that it's apparent, it's Nikar, it's clearly discernible that these lights are lit for Shabbos. You shouldn't light them too late. For obvious reasons, you shouldn't light candles too close to Shabbos. Why? Like the Mishnah Berurah says, if you let the last possible second, and then you look at your watch, and the woman will say, oh, it's already Shkia, that's it. She can't light anymore. Right? She can't light anymore. So you don't want to cut it to the last possible second, but you also don't want to light too early, because then it's not Nikar that it's being done for Kavod Shabbos. Alright, so you see that all these themes of Kavod Shabbos, Oneg Shabbos, and Shalom Bayis are really all incorporated into the halacha of Neiros Shabbos. But there's a nafkamina. There is a practical difference in terms of these reasons. So, there's a famous series of Rambams that need to be explained. Two Rambams. The Rambam in the fifth parak in Hilchos Shabbos writes the following. Again, as I said, it's a famous Rambam. The Rambam says the following: Halakas ne'er b'Shabbos eino rashus imratza madlik v'imratza eino madlik. It's not like Shabbos candles are a option plan. If you want to do it, good. If you don't want to do it, it's also good. That's not the way we view ne'er Shabbos. V'lo mitzvah. And it's not just a mitzvah. What does he mean it's not just a mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah that if you do it, you get a check. If you don't do it, okay, no penalty, but you don't get a check. No, that's not like that. Like, for example, shechita. If I want to eat meat, I got to shech the cow. If I don't want to eat meat, don't shech the cow, and no harm, no foul. He says that's not the way we view Ner Shabbos. Ner Shabbos, he says, is a chova. Like the Gemara says, it's an obligation. You must have Ner Shabbos. El chova. Who is the chova upon? V'echad anoshim, v'echad noshim, chayavim, liyos, b'vatehem, ner dolok b'Shabbos. Men and women are bound to have neiros on Shabbos, and listen to the language that he uses. Liyos b'vatehem, ner dolok b'Shabbos. They're required to have lit candles, or a lit candle on Shabbos. Why? Skipping ahead a little bit. Sheze b'klal oneg Shabbos. This is included in the category of Oneg Shabbos. So again, the Rambam in Perikei Halacha Aleph says that a person is required to have a candle lit on Shabbos. Why? Because of Oneg Shabbos. Now, if you jump ahead 25 prakim to Perik Lamed, in Perik Lamed Halacha Hey, the Rambam says the following. He says you set up your table on Erev Shabbos, and you make sure your house is clean before Shabbos, and you make sure the beds are made, v'chulei v'chulei. V'yiyya ner dolok, and there should be a lit candle. V'shulchan oruch, set table. Mitu mutzas, a made bed. Shekol elu, the covered Shabbos hain. Again, in Parakei Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes, you have to have ner dolok b'Shabbos. You need to have a lit candle when? On Shabbos. Why? For Oneg. In Perek Lamed, the Rambam says, you have to have a near dolok, and a made table, a set table, and made bed. When? On Erev Shabbos, because of Kavod Shabbos.
Why?
So what's going on here? One second, Manushach. Is the candle for Oneg? Is the candle for Kavod? Is the time that you need the candle on Shabbos? Or is the time you need the candle before Shabbos? The Rambam seems to be saying two different things here. Yes, question?
Why does it say made beds? Is that everything? Is the made bed?
The house should be made, prepared, nice. It should be cleaned up. It should be ready for Shabbos.
A bed is taken as an example that the house should be in order.
Yeah.
What does it mean? The bed and the bed alone. I don't think it's the bed alone.
I'm just telling you what the Rambam says. He says set table, made bed. lit candle.
Maybe that's all they had.
That doesn't. Use. Yeah, it doesn't mean only. It doesn't mean you should leave the floor dirty.
Okay.
Obviously.
No, I just brought that up. And then, as far as the women, Rabbi said that it's ingrained in them to light the candles.
Right. I think that's true.
I mean, without daughters, I don't know. But if there's a custom now, people have the custom to have the girls light candles. I'm not saying
that's a whole separate question.
I mean, do they hide at 12? Would they make a
block? That's a whole separate. I'm not going to get into that. I mean, that's
okay. I'll leave it alone.
I'll just tell you.
Okay, then I'll leave it alone.
Okay. the Brisker Rav, famous Brisker Rav, it's brought down in the stencils from Chaim in the Gemara on Shabbos. It's not the Gemara on Shabbos, but he cites the Rambams. He deals with these two Rambams. And he says the following. I'll read you the Lashon of the Griz. He says like this. In the Chidush HaGrach, he has a section of things that are attributed to the Griz. And when it was published, they included things from the Griz. So he wants to say like this, that there's a fundamental difference between Kavod Shabbos and owning Shabbos. And that's what's going on here in the Rambam. It's not a stira, per se, in the Rambam, but the Rambam is talking about two different themes. And he writes, Hadlokas near Shabbos, Echad Anoshim, Echad Anoshim, Chayav Nius Bevatim, near Dolok B'Shabbos, Afil Eilam Ma'yocho, V'chuei, Shuzo B'chla Oneg Shabbos. That's the Ram Perk Ha'alach Aleph. Then the Ram Perk Laman Alach Aleph, V'tzarech M'beiso M'bod Yom, M'nei Kavad HaShabbos, you have to be Misak in the house before Shabbos, Yenei Dolok, Shekol Eilach Vod Shabbos Heim. And now he writes, V'loshen HaRam Tzarechin. It's a shirkite, it's a difficulty, because the Ramam seem to be so-so one another. In Perik Hey Shadin Halokas Ner Dafka B'Shabbos, the Rambam says that the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is to have a lit candle on Shabbos. And in Perik Lamed he says that the Chiva of Halokah is Dafka Mibod Yom, like making of the bed and setting of the table all before Shabbos. So Manashach, is it on Shabbos or is it before Shabbos? The Od Kasha. Al Masha Kasa Mibod Yom, that which he says Mibod Yom, why is he telling Mibod Yom? You can't light on Shabbos. Hech Shai Chabokah B'Shabbos. The Vadei Tzarech Lahadlik Mibod Yom. Certainly you have to light before Shabbos. Kevin Shabbos, also Lahadlik. And now he says his big Yisod. And I'm sure everyone's heard this at one point or another, but I think it's very important to go over because this is a very fundamental idea in terms of what is Kavod Shabbos and what is Oneg Shabbos. In the world at large, when you hear people use these terms, they basically use them interchangeably, and they're not the same thing. The Griz says, V'nirli de b'halachos elu heim shnei dinim nifradim. Two different ideas. Two different halachos. De b'chiv hadlaka yeh shnei dinim. Chada mishum Oneg Shabbos. One basis for lighting their Shabbos is Oneg Shabbos. V'gam mishum kavod Shabbos. And there's also an idea of kavod Shabbos. V'heim chalukim b'dineihem. And they're different. They're different ideas, and there's differences in terms of the halacha. The din oneg, shayach b'Shabbos atzma. Oneg Shabbos includes those things that a person does on Shabbos to reap the maximum benefits of Shabbos. You eat a nice meal, you drink enjoyable beverages, you do things that are enjoyable, that are pleasurable. That's oneg Shabbos. And that only applies on Shabbos. Masha ein kein b'din kavod Shabbos, but the idea of showing honor to the Shabbos, shachiv hu kvar mi b'od yom, the idea of showing honor to Shabbos, those things apply before Shabbos. The first simon in Hilchos Shabbos discusses all the things that a person is supposed to do in preparation of Shabbos, in anticipation of Shabbos, and that's kavod Shabbos. Person goes to the market and he buys food the kavod Shabbos. That's a kiman kavod Shabbos. He goes to the grocery store on Friday. He says, "I'm going shopping now." The kavod Shabbos. That's kavod Shabbos. He prepares the candles. Kavod Shabbos. He sweeps the floor. Kavod Shabbos. Shazo gam kim b'chol kavod Shabbos. V'gam im yitzuya hadloka b'Shabbos atzmo. He says, "This is an important point." Let's say for some reason, let's take that woman that we mentioned before. She's running last minute. And now she can't light candles anymore. So let's say, that's a separate question, if under any circumstances this would be appropriate, but let's say she somehow gets a Gentile to light candles for her now. There's no bracha necessarily, forget about the bracha, but now, otherwise there's no candles, she gets a Gentile to light candles for her. So now, on the Shabbos table, or in the house on Shabbos, there are candles that are lit. So listen to what he says. In Yitzuyu Hadlaka B'Shabbos Atzmo, Eino Muskayim B'Zed Din Kvot Shabbos. The only thing you're going to get from that is what?
You haven't honored the Shabbos. The guy's honored the Shabbos.
But what do you have now? You don't have Kavod Shabbos.
No.
He says you only have Oneg Shabbos. U'B'Zeh Shapir Miyushav Loshon HaRambam. The Perek Hei Mari B'Din Oneg. And Perek Hei is talking about Oneg. K'moshe Kassav Sham. She'zeh B'Chal Oneg Shabbos. V'zeh Hachiyo Shayach Tavke B'Shabbos Atzmo. For Oneg, you need the candle to be lit on Shabbos. You need to have the candle to enjoy on Shabbos. That's Oneg. He includes it with all those other things that you're doing before, making the bed, setting the table, cleaning up the house. That's all for Kavod Shabbos. So this, we'll call them Tzvai Dinim, two Dinim in Ner Shabbos, as far as the Brisker Rav is concerned, in explaining the Rambam. That there's a din of Kavod, and that there's a din of Oneg, and it's possible to only be satisfying one of them without the other. If a person would only have the lights on Shabbos somehow, to adorn his table or his dining area on Shabbos, however that would come about in a permissible way, that would only be Oneg. You would not be fulfilling the mandate of Kavod Shabbos. I'll take your question 1 second. Just want to just continue with this theme for one moment. Rav Moshe, in his Dibros Moshe, also seems to be addressing this issue in a slightly different way, and then I'll take your question 1 second. But there's another din here. There's another din that's quoted by Tosos. All right, Tosos back on Chafeim and Beis in the Chova, Dira Masla Chova, discusses the issue of whether or not there's a bracha that's to be said on Ner Shabbos. And his conclusion is, of course, that there is a bracha. But after discussing that issue, he says, "Va'od ner rabbeinu tam, shim haya ner mudlok va'omid shesarech lachavos v'lachzer lahadlik kedam le'yahu saba u'bevach lo yakdim u'bevach lo yacher." That if you have a candle that's coming to a room, and its candles are already there, technically there's no basis for lighting Shabbos candles. If you're going to go ahead and going to make a bracha on lighting Shabbos candles, then it should be a situation where there's a need for light. And that's cited here by the Rama in Sif Dalid. He writes, Vim hayahaner dolok mi be'od yom gadol, if the candle's already lit for a long time before Shabbos, yichabene v'yachzor v'likenel tzorach Shabbos. There has to be a specific hadlaka for Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, even if it was after plag, u'mayisha dolok le'inin acher, talking about a case where the light was lit for another purpose. Let's say you had a candle that was lit for just light. Right? Yeah, a candle that's lit just for light.
Okay.
Then you're going to have to put it out and light it anew for Shabbos. But if you lit it for Shabbos, even though you weren't makabel Shabbos with it, as long as it was after the plag, that would be okay. However, he says, but l'chachil lo haya lo lahab kol kach mikodem she'inu nikr she'malik utzorach Shabbos. Again, you have that problem of not being nikr that it's for Shabbos. So listen to this Ha'orah from Rav Moshe. This is in the Dibros Moshe, not the Igros Moshe. This is on the Gemara there in Shabbos, in the second parak. It's Ha'orah Mem Gimel. Rayas Rabbeinu Tam, Shetzerach L'chavos V'lachzor L'hadlik, says the proof that Rabbeinu Tam marshals to support his position that you would have to put out the candle and light it again from Ehod the Omer Ahu Saba, from the Gemara's story here, about the individual that was told, hey, you can't light your candles too late, you can't light your candles too early. He says, Kidipirish Rashi Kavanoso Shechazina Misham. What does Rabbeinu Tam mean? He says, we see from here, the Eino Rak Kedeshia Ora B'Bayis. It's not just to have light in the house. Because the purpose of Shabbos candles is not just to produce light. Shechiv HaGuf Misham Kavach Shabbos. Elamai, it's an obligation that I have. I have to do something actively to create a certain situation in the house. I have to do something for Kavod Shabbos' sake. Right? I have to bring light into the house for Kavod Shabbos. If it was just to have light, if the light was there already, I could say, okay, I walk into my house, the lights are on, and finished. Right? I left the light on all day, the light's on. Now comes Shabbos, I say, okay, there's a light on here, very good. But he says, no, you see there's a chiyuv on the guf of the person, an obligation that the person actively do something to bring light into his home for the sake of Shabbos. Rashi, Hani mishum de below ze lo hayazah klal meinyani kavod Shabbos. Right? He says, if you didn't put light for the Suda, then where's the kavod Shabbos? Kevin she'ein chalok la Suda she'tiyah b'mokam ora. U'kemoshu ha'tzvichu she'ya nered she'yidlok gam l'mocher b'sudas hayom. V'tama tosos v'harambam shumishum oneg Shabbos. Lecho b'mokam ner lo yuzbar rabbein tam. De oneg ha'ikam mamish k'sha'ner dolok af mi b'yom k'mo b'el da'adlikos samach l'Shabbos. So it's occurring to rabbein tam, in his oneg you could have. Oneg you could have. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't hold that the basis, the main reason for lighting the candle is for Oneg. Because according to that, you could have Oneg. You come to Shabbos, the light's on already. Why is that not Oneg? The whole purpose of having the lights at your suda is to enjoy. If that's the case, who says you have to go out of your way to light something special? If the lights are on, you're in a state of having light for your meal and Oneg Shabbos. But he said, Rabbeinu Tam, Shehu Chiyav HaGof. But if for Rabbeinu Tam, who holds it's a din being Machabe the Shabbos, right? Stavka shows that you have to show Kavod for the Shabbos. Then what? Shehuchiv ha'gof lahadik pashut. This is an interesting point. She'af im heliko cheresh shota v'katan v'akum. If someone else would have lit the candle, who is not a bar hochi in doing mitzvos, someone who can't produce mitzvos, so it's true. Even though you would have oneg, because you have light there, you would not have kavod. Eino klum. That would be even if it was lit before Shabbos. Even if it was lit before Shabbos by someone who's not able to produce mitzvos, a cheir shotokan, someone who's non-compos mentis, or a Gentile, is not called a maisa mitzvah. So if that's the case, eino klum, v'tzorach l'chavos, you have to put it out, u'lahadlik v'kvod Shabbos midina. U'lamin hagenu, he says, Rav Moshe says, shekol hanoshim adlikos, vadehu rak b'shul kvod Shabbos. The fact that the women light, so you see, why is it being done? It's being done for kvod Shabbos. How do I know? Because once one woman lights, then there's no reason for another woman to light. Let's say you have two families that are together for Shabbos. Why would it be necessary for a second woman to light? Tell me it's Oneg, there's light here already. So he's showing Kavod Shabbos. Oh, so he's Kavod Shabbos. The Hamadlik and Gam Kishesh Or Gedola below Haner. You see that people light even when there's additional light that's there already. Haner Shalahan Shalachin Vadehu Chiyav HaGov Kisar Rabbeinu Tam. It certainly sounds like we take for granted that Rabbeinu Tam is correct, that there's an obligation to bring light forth for Shabbos, to show Kavod for Shabbos. And that would be the case, even though someone else had already lit her candles there. Now that is a question. It happens to be that is something of a question between the machlokas, between the mechaber and the ramah, whether or not it's appropriate to make a bracha on a second set of candles where there's already lights that are present, or when there's candles that are already present. But everyone seems to agree. I would say most of the poskim that I've seen on this issue seem to agree that it's better to light candles in a place where there is not yet light. So many had the practice, and it seems to be the appropriate thing to do. If you're coming into a room that's well illuminated, and let's say you have your dining room lights on for Shabbos, and that's the major light that's going to be there, so it's proper to shut it off before you light the Shabbos candles,
and then
put them right back on right after you light the candles.
So now, it just happens in.
So the question is how to do it. Different questions on how to do it. Some poskim advise that the man should be the one to turn them back on because we're afraid that right after she lit candles, she already accepted Shabbos. Right, so many were of the practice, even some of the gedolim themselves were knowing themselves to turn those lights back on right after the Shabbos candles are lit. But others have suggested, and it certainly makes sense, that a woman could simply have in mind that this is all part of her Shabbos acceptance process, that she's not mekabel Shabbos, or she's not mekabel Shabbos until she finishes the whole process of lighting candles. When she shuts the lights off, makes the bracha, puts the lights back on, then she would be mekabel Shabbos. And you see in practice many women do that on Yom Kippur. What happens in many shuls, they light candles early before Yom Kippur and they drive to shul. Mm-hmm. So generally we assume that women accept Shabbos with candle lighting. But here you see she specifically had in mind not to accept Shabbos until she got to shul. So, if you could rely on it then, it would seem appropriate that you could rely on it in other situations as well. And, that would apply if you're a man or if you're a woman and you're lighting candles. If you're lighting candles in a room that's well lit, the preferable thing to do would be to put those lights out first, light the candles with the bracha, and then put the lights on. There are differences of opinion which thing should be done first. Should you make the bracha and put the lights back on first, and then the candles, or make the bracha on the candles and then put the lights on? I'm not getting into that issue. That's a separate issue. Suffice it to say that you have shitas on both sides of that equation, that maybe the bracha essentially should be on the major lights, right? You have a massive candelabra, chandelier. That's giving you 99% of the light in your room, right? Totally dwarfing your candles. So to make a bracha on the candles maybe is not appropriate. Maybe if you're making bracha on one, it should be on the ikar light. And some have suggested that. Others say, no, that you could still make the bracha on the candle and just have in mind that the whole hadlaka is inclusive of the putting on the lights as well and do it that way. Yeah, questions?
It would seem that I would... The other, so...
The Gemara specifically says that we learn mitzvah bo yosem yishlucho from the fact that Amoroyim did something themselves for Kavod Shabbos. Even though they had servants that could have just as easily done it for them, they chose to do it themselves. And you see from here, mitzvah bo yosem yishlucho. So you're right. Today, people have people that do their chores for them and do things for them. And even though that's the case, they should leave some things to be done by themselves for the purpose of Kavod Shabbos. I don't know if that's what's done. I assume that's what's done. If it's not what's done, it's not appropriate. And something should be left to be done by one's self. Let me just conclude that. Suffice it to say, there's a lot more to be said here. But let me just end with one last point, and that is something that's already mentioned by the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa in terms of where one should light. So again, we've seen if it's Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos, maybe light by the table or near the eating. But if it's for other purposes, then it makes sense to light elsewhere as well. And that's exactly what he says. This is in Perek Mem Gimel, Seif Tezvav. Ikra shel hamitzvah hu hahadlaka shemadlikim b'makom ha'achila. The primary lighting is the lighting that's done in conjunction with the suda. The ahadlaka asam shel neiros eira mevarchem, and that's the lighting that you make the bracha on. Then he says, "Gam b'shar hachadarim she'abhem mishnamshim b'leil Shabbos," but also in other rooms that one uses on Leil Shabbos, v'chein b'prasdorim in the hallways and the stairwells, cheder madrigos, tzorch she'en ner dolot b'leil Shabbos. It's proper to have lights on in those areas. O lefachal, so at the very least, she'er or hamehir l'mekom al sa'ila. The light should be, ambient light that's coming in from someplace else. But you don't make additional brachos on those candles. Okay, so you see, he's incorporating both ideas, the kavod and the oneg, and then also, because of shalom bayis, there should be lights that are lit, in addition to the lights at the table, there should be lights that are lit throughout the house. The Rav Zatzal was also very particular about that and felt that was the proper thing for a person to do, to light candles, the kavod Shabbos, in those other rooms that he was using. And the truth is, you see already a little bit of a siyua to this in the Ramah, and with this we'll conclude. The Ramah writes in Sif Yod, Iker hadlaka tluya b'neir shemadlikim al ha'shulchan. The essential lighting, the main lighting, is the lighting that's in conjunction with the Suda. Avolo b'shah ha'neir shebabayis. Already implying that there are other neiros in the bayis. V'tzarech la'aniyach ha'neiros b'mokam shemadlikim. You have to keep the candles in the place where you light them. Lo l'halik mokam zel la'aniyach mokam acher. Similar to Neir Chanukah in that regard, right? And then you see that the Shemir Shabbos supports that. We'll just conclude with this Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah is in Sivkat and Beis, in explaining that this idea. Just bear with me 1 second. Did I say Sivkat and Beis?
Yes.
I know, that's what I said, but I don't think that's right. Watch that cup of beans. No. This is a Sivkat Yadal. This is not exactly what I was referring to a minute ago, but Sivkat Yadal, he writes, Imochelos b'shulchan echad imachayim sheberchu v'hidliku. If they lit and made brachas on candles already at the table, she shouldn't make a bracha there. Dehei ikar hatam shekula mevarchim mishem simcha yisera sheyesh aydei riba haneros. K'mo shekosu b'siv ches. V'halak leka simcha gaba. in a case where there's already a lot of other camels there, she's not necessarily providing any additional simcha, but that's not what I was referring to. All right, I can't find it at the moment inside, but they're from the Ramah, it's mashma, as we said, from the Ramah, it's mashma, that they could bracha on the nearest that you light by the achila, but he seems to also be of the opinion that in a case where that's not possible, that one could actually make a bracha on other lights that are lit for the purpose of Shabbos in other places in the house. Just give me one more second, let me see if I could find it. It's a little frustrating. Okay, it's over here. Haminik she'osu isha madlekas mekabel shav v'loka. Oh, okay. Sivkat memhe. Sivkat memhe. Says that the bracha, the ikar, this is the Ramah. The Ramah says, V'ikar adlaka tuli b'neir shamadlikan al shulchan, aval lo b'shahar neir shababayis. V'tzorach laniach aneiras b'mokam shamadlikan, lo lahab b'mokam zu, v'zev laniach b'mokam acher. Says the Mishnah Berura, D'yivarich aleyen lo al shahar neiras, l'fi she'ikar mitzvah l'chalchil hei neir shaochin l'oran, v'roi shnei bracha aleyen. And even with one candle, it's sufficient. However, if there are many women, and not everyone has her own table, in such a case where there's a lot of women around, they can't all light on the table. So she could light and make a bracha on candles that are lit elsewhere in the house. Why? It's as long as you're using that space, and I'll just leave you off with this thought, you can light the candles and make a bracha there. A lot of times when you go to a simcha, you go to some form of hotel program, so very often they have a lot of people lighting, and they don't want 200 women lighting candles in the dining room where people are going to be walking by, and it's a fire hazard. So they set up a place for people to light, some place far away from people. And the truth is, that's a big shaila halacha, whether or not it's appropriate. You see from here, the only place you can light and make a bracha is a place that you're using on Shabbos. Who says that you're going to take a room that no one goes near, right? It's hot as heck in there. You can't be netted from that room anyway. You can't use that room anyway. You're not getting any benefit from it, not any enjoyment from it. You're putting candles in, you're making a bracha. Who says that's proper? So the truth is, it seems to be a big problem, and really it should be avoided. It's better off for a person is better off in that case to light in one's own personal room in a way that's appropriate, than to lighten that way, make a bracha in a way that's not appropriate.
But don't light right directly underneath the smoke detector.
Well, I wasn't even necessarily talking about with candles. A person could even be yotzei the mitzvah according to many shittos with just regular incandescent bulb. Then you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, you shouldn't light.
In that case, they could do that in the dining room.
Well, in the dining room, already, as I said, where are you going to light it?
If they're going to use Lexus, then there's no danger of fire.
No, but you're better off doing it in your own room where you can be netted from it, and it's clear that it's you're lighting it for the purpose of Shabbos. Okay, there's a lot of other issues here, of course, and maybe we'll take some more up another time, but for now we'll stop, and we'll wish everyone...
The cupboard?
Yeah.
Yeah,